Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois continues to report thousands of newly confirmed cases of COVID-19 every day. There were 2,300 more on Monday afternoon, plus an additional 46 deaths. Later on the show, black and brown communities have been disproportionately affected by coronavirus disease. And we'll talk about the disconnect between the officials, media, and communities of color, and what's being done to address it. And uncertainty about the future is delaying all kinds of summer plans, not the least of which is summer camp. We'll hear what that might look like for some kids in Illinois. But first, one of the state's biggest COVID-19 outbreaks is afflicting the guards, nurses, and detainees in the Cook County Jail. Reporter Shannon Heffernan with WBEZ Chicago's Criminal Justice Desk has been reporting on the situation inside. Her story was produced as part of ProPublica's local reporting network, and she joins us now. Shannon, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, but before we get into the how the county jail has been in the era of COVID-19, let's take a step back and look at this facility in the before times. What was the Cook County Jail like on a good day before COVID-19?
Right. So Cook County Jail is huge. It's on Chicago's southwest side. It sprawls across about 96 acres. The current population there is over 4,000. And that number is down from where it was at the beginning of March before COVID-19 really hit hard. At that point, the jail population was about 5,600. A lot of the people detained at the jail have mental health issues or other illnesses. They're disproportionately black and brown and disproportionately poor.
I think Sheriff Dart, I've heard him speaking and refer to it as the biggest mental health institution in the country, though not designed that way, right?
Yeah, I think it does have a large portion of people who are living with mental illness. I hesitate sometimes to call it the biggest facility because it implies that treatment is possible in these settings, which I think often it's not the ideal setting for that for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to note that most people who are there are pre-trial. That means they've not been convicted of a crime. Jail is not a place people go because they're being punished. Jail is generally, in most cases, a place people are because they're awaiting trial. So I think that's really important to understand when you're thinking about who's there.
So not long ago, you were on the 21st talking about the State Department of Corrections' One Good Eye policy. And I know you've been reporting on healthcare in correctional institutions for a while now. What is medical care like for people in custody generally and at the Cook County Jail in particular?
So the Illinois Department of Corrections, so that's the state facility, doesn't have a great history when it comes to medical treatment of people in their custody. They've come under federal oversight because their care for people is so poor. At the Cook County Jail, they do have on-site health treatment via Saramac, but you also have to remember that these are places where there, you know, people are living in really close quarters. It's difficult to social distance. People don't have access to soap, hand sanitizers, or mask. So even in good circumstances where healthcare is being provided, it can be a really difficult place to provide good healthcare to people. I think it's also important to remember that people who are in jails and prisons are more likely to have significant illnesses. And when it comes to prisons, they're also more likely to be older than the general population. So that makes it a population that's particularly vulnerable to COVID-19.
So a couple of months ago, as people begin kind of waking up to the fact that this coronavirus is spreading in American communities, over the following weeks, it really begins to hit jail populations nationwide. And I think you touched on this a little bit, talking about what, you know, the actual living facilities are like. But why are jails and prisons particularly vulnerable to this disease?
I think this is an important point that you're bringing up, Brian. The Marshall Project has been doing a great job of tracking this. They found that there were more than 9,400 cases in prisons across the United States. Once a case gets inside a prison or jail, it really spreads like wildfire. And that's because of those close conditions, right? You can't socially distance when you're behind bars. You have people who are in cells together. You have people handing out food trays between different places. So it's a really hard place to contain any kind of contagious disease. And on top of that, you have the issue with people not having as great of access to sanitation, things like hand sanitizer and soap. So it becomes a real challenge in these facilities, which is one of the reasons you've seen jails and prisons across the United States become hotspots for COVID-19. I also think it's important to note that when there's an outbreak in a prison or a jail, it doesn't necessarily stay inside the prison or jail. You have those staff members going home every day to their communities. You have people from the jails and prisons who get seriously ill going to local hospitals. Often I think people imagine jails and prisons as separate, segregated from everybody, but they are part of our public health fabric. So when there's an outbreak there, it affects more than just jails or prisons.
Yeah, and I want to come back to that point you're making, because a number of the people you interviewed were people who spend, you know, maybe they go to the jail during the day for their job, and then they're home at night with their families, or maybe they don't ever go to the jail. They work in the hospital and just have jail inmates coming in. Well, let's come back to that point in a moment. What moving into the era of COVID-19 now, do you know what are the current case totals at the county jail for both people who are detained there and people who are working there?
So in terms of people who've tested positive for COVID-19, there's more than 500 people detained at Cook County Jail who've tested positive. That does include people who've recovered from the virus. And there's also more than 300 correctional officers who've been tested positive. That number also includes people who've since recovered. And unfortunately, there's been deaths, 7 total, 6 people detained at the jail and 1 correctional officer. And we've seen in recent court filings from Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart that they expect those numbers to continue to grow.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're talking to Shannon Heffernan of WBEZ, who's been reporting on the COVID-19 outbreak at the Cook County Jail. So you mentioned about 500 cases. There's the population, I think, this week is 4,000. That's 1 in 8 people in the jail who has either currently or has had COVID-19. Let's talk about some of those individual stories, some of the people you interviewed for your story. The first detainee that you quote is someone who's pregnant. Can you tell me what she had to say?
Right. Her name's Kiana Ford, and she was detained in something called the RTU, which is like the healthcare wing of the prison. So she says that she was there with a lot of women who had illnesses like high blood pressure or taking diabetes medicine, people who would be vulnerable to COVID-19. She talks about when they first heard on the news that COVID-19 was in the jail, how frightened they all were, that some people began to cry, that people were talking about how scared they were and that they really felt that they needed to get out immediately or they were scared they were going to die. She describes the conditions they were living in. She lived in a dorm unit, so there were beds that were very close together. There are large sections of the jail that are these sort of dorm-style units where some of them have bunk beds, some of them have beds that are very close. I should mention that a federal judge has ordered Cook County Sheriff to take action to do more social distancing, so to keep those dorm settings at a lower capacity so it's more possible to spread people out, and that Sheriff Tom Dart has said he's also began keeping people in single cells. But there are still dorm settings that are still open at the jail, but according to the sheriff's filings, there has been more room to social distance since the virus started.
And you mentioned that Kiana Ford was talking about the fear. That's a common reaction among detainees as they're, you know, hearing these news reports?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can imagine watching the news and hearing that you're in one of the top hot spots in the country, how frightening that must be. Some of the detainees we spoke to talked about looking out the window and seeing ambulances drive by. And on Kiana Ford, I mean, I think one thing to notice is that fear is not only about what's happening for you, it's about what's happening for your family on the outside and how difficult it can be to get information. This wasn't in the story, but Kiana Ford has a son who was 13, 14 years old, and he was going between different houses of family members and friends because his mom was detained in the jail. And at a time when we're supposed to be socially isolating and socially distancing, you can imagine how frightening that was for her to have her son jumping between houses and trying to stay in contact with him on the phone and make sure he was safe. So everybody I spoke to whether they were a correctional officer or a detainee, talked about this fear for themselves inside the jail, but also for people outside, and how challenging it was to get good information and stay in touch with people and make sure you were caring for the people that you love.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, the just because an outbreak is happening inside the jail, that doesn't mean it stays confined to the jail. And you talked to a correctional officer who spoke about the practices he was employing when he would go home at night. And I think he even, you say he considered quitting when he got his assignment that he was going to be going into the specific unit of the jail where there were a lot of cases. Can you talk about his story?
Right. So this correctional officer asked us not to use his name, but he actually isn't a correctional officer in his normal day-to-day job. He works for the sheriff's office, but he works someplace that is not the jail. But what's happened as this virus has spread inside the jail and staff have become sick is they've needed reinforcements. And so they've called in people from other parts of the sheriff's department to go inside the jail and work. And he was one of those people who got that call. And he went to an area of the jail where there's been a major outbreak. And when he got assigned there, he was terrified, not only of making himself sick, but of making his kids sick. Since he's been working in the jail, he says he's been living in his basement. He comes into the basement at night, he puts all his clothes in the laundry, and he sleeps down there. I mean, I think it's very similar behavior to what you've seen from a lot of people who are working in emergency rooms and don't want to expose their families. I think that's the level of fear that anybody working inside the jail is living with.
So what has been the official response to this? Let's start with, and we can talk about the staff side and on the you know, what the officials say they're doing for staff, but also for the inmates or detainees, I should say. What you mentioned that the population is down quite a bit from where it was. Has that been a concerted effort to try and get people out of there?
So there have been concerted efforts from Cook County officials, including the public defender, the state's attorney, and judges to review people's bail for release. And so that's one reason you see that dropping population. You've also had nonprofits like the Bail Project and the Chicago Community Bond Fund bailing people out. And you've had fewer people who are going to the jail because arrests are down. So all those combined have made for a shrinking jail population. Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, who runs the jail, he's also said that he's taken actions to stop the spread inside. He has said that he's been on top of this from day one and even began preparations in January to make sure that there were sanitation supplies and that there was screening happening. But I will say that his account of what's happened and the account from the staff and detainees, those are very different accounts.
Yeah, he says there's plenty of soap. He at one point you quoted him as saying, if you know, get me the name of somebody who doesn't have soap, I'll deliver it to him myself, or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing here. And then you sort of juxtapose that in the story with somebody who works in the correctional facility and says, that's a joke. I had to fight to get gloves. I had to call in favors. So the staff, I mean, do they feel that they're being supported in the gear that they need?
Yeah, the staff I've spoken to felt like they were left alone on this. Now, they're not saying that there was never any soap, that there was never any hand sanitizer, that there were never any masks. They say those things were supplied. It was just that they were inconsistent and not always easily accessible. So you see this gap between Dart saying, I'm giving these to people, and them saying, yeah, you're giving them to us, but it's not enough. It wasn't soon enough, and it wasn't consistent enough.
So only a couple of minutes left. I wonder if you can just talk a little bit about, I know it can be very challenging to report on correctional institutions. How did you go about reporting this story, finding the people to talk to?
So we talked to over a dozen people who work or are detained inside the jail. We conducted the interviews by phone, and we looked for patterns, things that people were consistent about, that multiple staff members or detainees told us were happening. And then we took those and we sat those side by side with what the sheriff's official accounts were. The sheriff did not agree to an interview for this story, but did provide detailed answers to a list of questions that we sent. And so we put those next to each other and tried to square the accounts of what's happened over the last 2 months.
Yeah, and it kind of reads like an oral history, if people are familiar with that form, as you go through quoting people and juxtaposing it with official accounts. It's quite neat. Last question in about 30 seconds, what is next here? I know there's a lawsuit that's out there. are cases expected to continue to grow?
So I think that the excellent question. There is a lawsuit, and that lawsuit is trying to force more action inside the Cook County Jail. Judges already ordered Tom Dart to improve sanitation and social distancing. What Dart said in a recent court filing that caught my eye is that during the summer months, the number of people in the jail usually goes up because arrests go up. So he says the jail is bracing for that, and that's something that we're going to be watching to see if they can keep some of these social distancing measures in place as the summer goes on.
Shannon Heffernan is a reporter on WBEZ's Criminal Justice Desk. Her story was done in partnership with the ProPublica Local Reporting Network. Shannon, thanks so much for coming back on the 21st.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You can find a link to her story at our Twitter account. That's 21STShow, at 21STShow. We'll also have it on our website later today. More 21st to come in just a moment. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.